Well, I called it the laughter of the Bible, and I just put the words various passages because I'm not landing on one place. I'm going to be going in a lot of different places, because when you talk about laughter, if I wanted to just land on one and stay there and work on that one for a while, then it would take me 5 or 6 weeks to get through this, and I just didn't want to do that because I didn't think I had enough material, to be honest with you. Some of you are like, well, you could have, and we could have got home in time for lunch. But anyway, here we go. DeWitt Talmage was born January 7th, 1832 in Middlebrook, New Jersey. He was the youngest of 11 children. What's interesting, one of the interesting things about this man is that four of his brothers became ministers of the gospel, and one became a missionary to China. So he had a lot of background in work in the church, and he was ordained on July 26, 1856, and he was installed as the pastor of what's called the Dutch Reformed Church in Belleville, New Jersey. I'm not familiar with either of these towns in New Jersey, but it's near Newark, I found out. So after years of ministry, he went to several different churches and served at that church in Belleville quite a while. He was taken ill. He was making a trip to Mexico, and he took ill there, and he returned to his home in Washington, which is where he was living at the time. And unfortunately, sadly, for us, but not for him, he was glad to go, I'm sure, by this time. He died in April of 1902. So why did I tell you all this stuff about this guy? Well, as you probably figured out, that's because I stumbled upon a whole series of an article that had a whole series of outlines and titles of passages of messages by this guy. And apparently he was some kind of a big deal back in the day. I had never heard of him, to be honest with you, but some of the message titles and then the brief outline, it was like, here's one or two lines to tell you what the message was about, but they didn't have the message. I can't find the messages, so that was good. I don't have to tell you that I borrowed his message. I just got his outline and used that. So I made some changes, and the other thing was is that when they gave the outline, they didn't give me the scripture passages. I had to go look them up, and that was good too, because that made me do a little work, okay? I found some of those very interesting, and the one that really caught my eye was this one, The Laughter of the Bible. I enjoyed this when I found this, because I've always known that there is humor in the Bible. There just is. There are times when it's a little sly, and you don't pick up on it unless you understand some of the culture background or some of the words that are used and that kind of thing. But there is all kinds of humor, and so I took this outline. Like I said, I adopted it, and listen, I love to laugh when something's funny. Okay, if it's really funny, and I don't like laughing when somebody's being teased. I've never been a fan of that. I didn't like that in school. I don't like it now. But there are certain things we can tease each other about, but there are certain things that I think are off limits in my mind. Some of you are looking a little surprised this morning that there's laughter in the Bible. Maybe you haven't been reading very long. I don't know. If you haven't, then you need to start, getting busy. But I'm going to tell you what, if God created us in his image, and you know he did, then it seems that laughter and joy and a sense of humor are pretty normal with him. My wife always points to giraffes. He has a sense of humor. He created giraffes, and I always think, well, he created me. I mean, that's enough to make you laugh. So I just think that there is a sense that God does have a sense of humor. There's no doubt in my mind. And when we hear the words, joy, you hear that word joy a lot. Think about it. Where does that come from? It comes from a sense that that's really kind of funny, and it's, wow, that's really cool. Anyway, Talmage came up with five types of laughter that we find, and he, what I discovered is there are different characters. That's why I didn't want to just land on one particular passage, and they're in different situations. So here we go. You ready? The first one is what we called Sarah's Laugh. He called it the Laugh of Skepticism. Now, you probably know the story, so let's read it, though. In Genesis 18, 9 to 15. This is the three visitors, the three strangers that came to visit Abram and Sarai. That's what they were called then. They later became Abraham and Sarah. There's a little humor there. I know you've heard that one before because I've shared it with you a bunch of times, but it was Abram and Sarai. You remember that? And they became Abraham and Sarah. That means that God added ha-ha to their names. They had a son named Isaac. Anybody here remember what Isaac means in Hebrew? He laughs. God has a sense of humor, okay, right there. Where is your wife Sarah, they ask him. This is after they've eaten together and shared a good meal. And there in the tent, he answered. And the Lord said, this is one of the people that was there visiting with Abraham, said, I will certainly come back to you in about a year's time, and your wife will have a son. Your wife Sarah will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent behind him. So, you know, she's eavesdropping, which is okay. It's all right. Verse 11 says, Abraham and Sarah, this is an editorial comment, by the way, by the author, which is Moses, of course. He's writing this. And he wrote this. He said, Abraham and Sarah were old and getting on in years. You know, the Bible doesn't pull any punches. Don't we like to say, well, they're senior citizens. They're in their golden years. Stop. They were old and getting on in years. I'm old, okay? I get it. I'm okay. Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Now, that's the important part because it's like, wait a minute, what? She's past the age. Well, if she's old, and the way they're saying old, she was up there, and we know later they tell us how old. Verse 12, here's her response. So she laughed to herself. This is that Sarah's laugh. After I'm worn out and my Lord is old, will I have delight? In other words, now I'm finally going to have a child. Remember, she was childless. She had never had a child. Abraham was concerned about this because in the culture, if he didn't have a direct heir, somebody would be taking his possessions when he died. And he was concerned that it was a distant cousin or something. And he didn't really like that idea. But, you know, that's the way it is sometimes. You just kind of deal with it. And so now the Lord is telling him, you're going to have a son in a year. And the Lord asked Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Gulp. So she's in the tent, she's laughing, and he's asking Abraham, and I'm sure Abraham is like, why did Sarah laugh, saying, can I really have a baby when I'm old? Now there's the important, this is one of the important verses, is anything impossible for the Lord? Notice it's in small caps because this is referring to Yahweh, this is referring to God Almighty. At the appointed time I will come back to you, and in about a year she will have a son. It's interesting that twice he says a son, not just a child, not just a baby, but a son. In other words, Abraham, you're going to have an heir from yourself and Sarah. You don't have to worry about adopting. You don't have to worry about the cousin taking it. You're going to have your own heir, all right? It's going to be okay. Sarah denied it. Because, I mean, who wouldn't? I didn't laugh, she said, because she was afraid. Well, yeah, she's afraid. But he replied, the Lord replied, no, you did laugh. No punch pulling there, just straight up. You did laugh. I heard it. Probably not a good idea to deny something when God's there. You know, it's easy, I think, for us to criticize Sarah. You know, how dare she laugh when God, you know, tells you you're going to have something? You just need to go ahead and live with it, right? But I'll be honest, I think her response to that declaration of the Lord was actually not surprising in any way, shape, or form. When the Bible tells us in verse 11, Abraham and Sarah were old and getting on in years, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing, I see her reaction as pretty normal. She was kind of like, how in the world is that going to happen? How can that be? Now, we may think of it as the laugh of skepticism, and perhaps it was a sense in her heart of a little skepticism, like, how can that be? But, you know, who wouldn't be skeptical of such a declaration, even by the Lord, okay? I mean, some people, I think most humans would probably be, how are you going to do that? When I hear this story, I always remember a young woman named Mary who lived in Nazareth. Remember, she was betrothed to a man named Joseph. And you remember that she was also told something that seemed impossible. She was going to give birth to a baby, a son also. without laying with a man, according to Luke 1:31 to 34. While Sarah was old and beyond childbearing, she laughed aloud at that surprise announcement. We know that Mary simply accepted it, and she talked to Gabriel and really kind of, she didn't laugh about it. She didn't even worry or cry about it. She just, okay, how is that going to happen? Because I've never been with a man. And it was just something that she was ready to do. Is it possible that age was the only difference between the two? I mean, because Sarah was old and Mary was still young enough that maybe she didn't figure it was a big problem. Is it possible because of that they had such a different reaction? Remember, Mary was also told that her son would sit on the throne of David, and that that throne would survive and would not end. His kingdom would not end. And so maybe it's, why did these two women react so differently? Maybe it was the way they were told. Maybe it was the age. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say, but I understand. I'll be honest with you. I kind of understand Sarah's laughter there. Like, how in the world are you going to do that? I think it is interesting, however, in both stories, that both women were told the same thing as part of their announcements. To Sarah and Abraham, the Lord asked, "Is anything impossible for the Lord?" That's in verse 14 of Genesis 18. In Luke 1:37, to Mary, Gabriel, the angel, says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." And so it's the same sentiment, nothing's impossible. So we might want to laugh skeptically at something that God promises, but I guarantee you has the final say. If you really want to obey his commands and follow him, he has the final say. All right, second type of laugh is David's laugh. This one is a little more comfortable. This is the laugh of spiritual exaltation, we'll call it. That's what Talmadge called it. Our mouths were filled with laughter then. And as you may have suspected, these are from a psalm. In fact, Psalm 126, verse 2. Our mouths were filled with laughter then, and our tongues with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them." This was in response to God restoring the bad things that had happened to Zion, to Jerusalem. And so now they have been restored, and David wrote this psalm. Now this, as I mentioned earlier this morning, that this song is a song of ascents used by those who came to the temple in Jerusalem for worship. I have a question. How many of us sing on our way to worship at church? How many of us sing on the way? Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. That's good. The music team was involved. That's good. It's good that they're singing before. Probably practicing, right? Getting ready. I'm glad to see others are doing that. Now, I'm not getting after anybody. This is not a criticism, because I'll be perfectly honest with you. I don't always sing on the way to church. There are times when I do, but there are times when I just need quiet on the way. I need quiet time of reflection on the way, and trying to avoid the other cars on the road and all that kind of stuff. But I think I have a question. If we did sing on the way, maybe our spiritual exaltation when we come here to worship, maybe that would turn into some kind of laughter, some kind of joy. I know my wife is always getting after you for not, showing any joy on your face. We shall rejoice, we shall come rejoicing, that kind of thing. And you got this face, that says, "I'm not rejoicing and you can't make me." Well, okay, we can. We're not going to try to make you, but just think about it. Maybe if you were singing on the way and all that other stuff would go away. And then when you get here, then you will be able to sing with rejoicing, all right? I'm just saying. Listen, if you can't exult, if your spirit cannot exult, that's the word. If you can't get exalted and get laughter going, thinking about all the things the Lord has done for us, with us and to us, despite and in spite of our sin, then I'm not sure what I can do. I'm not sure what we can do. Third laugh, the fool's laugh, or that of sinful merriment, or as the author says, the crackling of thorns under a pot. We'll look at that in just a moment here. This is from Ecclesiastes 7:6. The preacher said, "For like the crackling of burning thorns under the pot, so is the laughter of the fool." This too is futile. That's his favorite word, remember? Vanity. I wanted to call your attention to the fact that April 1st is Atheist Day. You know that, right? Some of you are looking at me like, what? Who are you calling a fool? God said, the fool in his heart said there's no God. They are corrupt, they do vile deeds, and there is no one who does good. So I didn't come up with that. That's God said that. That's Psalm 14:1. So the teacher and King David agree. The fool's laugh is one of merriment at sinful practices. Now, I think it's easy to find that kind of laughter today. Even those of us who believe in Jesus Christ will often stoop to laughing at sin, sinful practices. I mean, we just do sometimes, because some of the things that people do are kind of funny when they're doing bad things. And the good news is, however, that God will forgive, and will forgive even that type of laughter, and he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we confess it to him in repentance. Now that's 1 John 1:9. So sinful merriment, the fool's laugh. Fourth, God's laugh. I know that God has laughed at some things. I have no doubt. It doesn't always tell us that he did, but here's one of the places I discovered that he does. Talmadge called it the laugh of infinite condemnation. Infinite condemnation. So I found a place. I'm hoping this is where he was referring to, because like I said, they didn't have a reference. So here we go. Psalm 2. Psalm 2 has a few verses. Verse 1 through 3 says, "Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers conspire together against the Lord and his anointed one. Let's tear off their chains and throw their ropes off of us." So this is sounding like the nations, remember, that's the pagan nations around Israel at the time. They want to rebel against God, perhaps even against God's people in some way. And that's interesting, because here's the Lord's reaction. Here's God's reaction in verse 4 and 5. "The one enthroned in heaven laughs." Now, I'm not sure, says the Lord ridicules them, but I'm not sure I want God laughing at me when I'm furious and I'm shaking my fist and mad at him, and I'm going to throw off the ropes of his laws and all that, and he laughs at me. Have you ever done that with your children? Any of you parents willing to admit that? When your children were throwing a temper tantrum and you just looked at them and just laughed, because what are you doing? We had a friend in San Diego that she used to work in the nursery. Very mellow young lady. And her husband were very, very mellow together. It was always amazing that they actually accomplished anything, because neither one of them would hardly commit to anything. It was always a measure of joke, you know, in the family. But they were just delightful people. But she was in the nursery, and we always remember there was one little girl who didn't want to do something. She wanted to go outside, and they weren't going to let her go outside in the nursery, and she had to stay there. And so she threw a tantrum. She was about 2, maybe 2.5, kicking her little feet, punching her little fist. She didn't hit anybody, but she was just punching and mad and screaming and hollering and carrying on for a good minute. Now, I don't know if I'd have put up with that, because, I don't know, I'm not very patient when it comes to that sort of thing. But Heather, the young lady's name, Heather just stood there and looked at her. And finally, the little girl ran out of energy, which they do. She just ran out and finally just stopped. And Heather looked at her and said, "Are you done?" And I just thought she was laughing inside, watching her. I have a feeling she was just laughing inside. And I think that's what this is. The Lord laughs, he ridicules them. Verse 5 said, "Then he speaks to them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath." So now we know, if God's laughing at us and ridiculing us, we better stand by for verse 5, okay? And I'm not sure I want to be part of that. I think I want to be away from that when I can. David's words, I think, describe what he believes happens when the nations of the earth turn away from God, which they're going to do, and they're doing more and more. We're seeing that more and more in our world. And just keep it this way. Before judgment, God's laughter. Then anger. Okay? I think that's what I got from that. Do you think that his laughter is a little bit terrifying too? Especially if it's ridicule and you kind of know what's coming, right? I'm certain his anger and his wrath is terrifying. There's no doubt in my mind. Finally, the fifth type of laughter is heaven's laugh, or the laugh of eternal triumph. This is the best one, I think, of all. This is from Luke 6:21. This is what I found. Blessed are you who are hungry now, because you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, because you will laugh. Now, this is part of Luke's account of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. You know that's mostly in Matthew, but Luke has an account of it also. And Matthew's account has the Beatitudes, right? Blessed are, you remember that. Well, Luke has that also, and this is two of them that he has in this particular verse. These are, I think, not just Beatitudes, they are promises from Jesus Christ. I think they're promises we can depend upon. And I like that promise of being filled, because when you're hungry, that's on your mind, isn't it? I know everybody's getting hungry now, so I'm going to move on. But when you're, you know, getting filled is a good thing. But I also think that he's talking about more than food. I think that Jesus was, when you're hungry, he's talking about a hungering for righteousness as well. And but just remember, just for the record, just remember the great feast that's promised in Isaiah 25:6. Don't forget, there is a physical filling also. Okay, so yeah, okay. Anyway, I'm especially encouraged by that promise of weeping being replaced by laughter, and that immediately sent me to Revelation 21. I've shared this with you a number of times, I know. Because it speaks of no more mourning, no more tears. And it seems that Jesus is speaking of that time, that end time, if you will, when things are all fixed. I'm going to call it that. I'm going to say fixed, repaired, a new heaven and the new earth, a new place for us to live. Weeping now over sin, weeping now over pain and heartbreak that we suffer in this world, weeping over lost souls despite our best efforts and best prayers, the prayers and hours and hours and days and weeks of prayers for people, and yet seeing that when they died that they just never came to repentance, they never came to belief and faith in Christ. And so there's a weeping, I think, in that. The Lord says, you will laugh. Not because you're made to, not because he ordered you to, but he says you will laugh. Why do you think you'll laugh? Because eternity with Christ will be blessed, a blessed and joyous time. And it's one of those that I almost think that somehow your mind is going to be in such agreement with the Lord that those that are not there, it's not that you won't remember them. I often think you will, but I think that he says, I will wipe away every tear, which even though there's no more weeping of the kind that they're talking about, this out of control weeping, I think there may still be tears. I think God has tears. I think Jesus has tears when people refuse to repent and come to him. So eternity with Christ is going to be a blessed and joyous time. So who wouldn't laugh when you're with him? Who wouldn't be doing some laughing? Reuniting with loved ones in Christ, seeing our Lord face to face, I think that's going to make me laugh, because I'm going to be surprised to be there in some ways. I know I'm saved. Don't hear me wrong, okay? I know I'm saved, but sometimes you just have those moments that, did I do something bad here, bad enough to get me out? No, the Bible says no. So I'm going to trust in that, but I still think there'll be some real surprises. I think seeing people that our fellow brothers and sisters that we didn't even know in this world, that we never met. Maybe we had some impact on them and didn't even know it. We supported missionaries and we didn't even know that the people that they led to the Lord, that, you know, we're going to get to meet them. I think all this is going to bring a joyous, triumphant laughter. There's just no doubt. Don't you think? Anybody? Okay, I just wonder, because some of you are falling asleep. Don't do that. There is no doubt that Laughter is perfectly acceptable when we find something to laugh about. By the way, even in church, and that's something I love about Calvary, is that people here don't have a fear of laughing, okay? So that's a good thing. Keep doing that. But especially, I think, laughter in our joy before the Lord. I think that that's the exciting thing. I think that's really acceptable. I love that word. So don't hesitate to let humor tickle you or make you laugh out loud sometimes. Always remember that Jesus laughed, I'm sure. If he hung out with children, I'm pretty sure he laughed. Parents, am I right? Am I right, Luke? Okay. I mean, you have little kids. They do things that are just, okay, that was funny. Don't do that again, but that was funny. I just think he laughed. I think he laughed with his family. He had brothers and sisters, and I have no doubt. I'm pretty sure that he did. And I also believe that he laughed with his disciples. I think his disciples made him laugh. Peter, are you kidding me? Of course Peter made him laugh. Sometimes he, you know, made him sorrowful, but he made him laugh, I have no doubt. So just, you know, I'm going to say it this way. Follow the master. Amen. How about that? We just say it that way? All right, here's the invitation. I want you to think about how you are following Jesus Christ in life, okay? Our invitation is always about, you know, coming to Jesus Christ. That's our number one concern. Do you know the Lord? Do you know him as your Savior? Do you know him? And if you do, then you've settled that. Then the next thing, we call you to baptism. We call you to local church membership. We call you to these things. God may call you to something. And if so, then I want you to be ready to follow him in life. Now, some of you are looking at me like, I'm retired, and he isn't going to call me to anything. Oh, yeah? I have really bad news for you. If you're still here and breathing, he's still here ready to use you. He still wants you to follow him. You're still impacting and influencing someone. All right? So don't stop. Would you go ahead and stand with me, please? If you can, if you want to. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. I have the music team come on up and prepare for that. We don't, I don't spend a long time on invitation here. We sing a song, usually however many verses it is, we usually sing the song. The purpose of it is to give you the opportunity to stop and think about what you've heard. Now, I know we talked about laughter today, so you're thinking, well, that's not real spiritual. Well, yeah, it is, because, you know, spiritual exaltation, did you have that? Are you thinking about heaven? Have you thought about what's going to happen there? And are you, you know, how are you going to enjoy it? Do you enjoy being with Christ now? I know life is hard, folks. I'm well aware of it. Life can be really hard here on earth, okay? But if you're in the Lord Jesus, if you have him as your Lord and Savior, life can still be pretty good, no matter how hard it is, all right? And so I just want you to know that this is your time to respond. God calling you to something. Maybe you need to pray for someone in your family. Maybe you need to pray about someone who doesn't know Christ, all right? Okay, let me pray and we'll go into our music. Father, we thank you for laughter. Thank you for joy. Thank you that there are funny things, because we just can't go through life without having an opportunity to just let go with our joy. Father, thank you that you grant us joy in Christ. That's just awesome. And awesome is the right word for something that you did. Father, thank you for that. We ask you now to send your Holy Spirit to touch each one of us, and if there's something we need to deal with, something we need to change, something we need to take care of to follow you properly, just help us to do that, Lord. And as we sing, I pray, Lord, that you will help anyone that needs to respond. I pray that you will give them the courage to do that. We ask it always in the name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ.